Bible's second reading to the ninth chapter of the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 9, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month, at even, ye shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, at even, in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, and those men said unto him, We are defiled by the dead body of a man, wherefore are we kept back, that we may not offer an offering to the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? And Moses said unto them, Stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. In the 14th day of the second month at even, they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man that is clean, and is not in a journey, and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. And if a stranger shall sojourn among you, and will keep the Passover unto the Lord, according to the ordinance of the Passover, and according to the manner thereof, so shall he do. Ye shall have one ordinance, both for the stranger and for him that was born in the land. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until the morning. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, then after that the children of Israel journeyed. And in the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. And at the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord, and at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, I think it's an encouraging thing that we see here at the beginning of this chapter. When you consider what the Passover was and how that it required several days of observance along with the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the sacrifice of an animal and other things that would seem tedious to folks that weren't particularly interested in it. Here then, they have spent their year around Sinai, and as we heard before, this is the year of their marriage, if you will. And now at the end of that first year, dwelling around the Mount Sinai, they arise and they are getting ready to journey. But before they do, there is yet another Passover to observe. And so they are preparing the Passover. The Lord graciously and kindly, through His servant Moses, reminds them of that Passover and what the ordinances of it were and how they are to keep it according to the command of the Lord and not to do anything that is simply right in their own eyes as they approach the Lord in the Passover. And so it is all set and ready to go, except for these few men that have now had to deal with a dead body. Perhaps a family member has died or something else. The text doesn't say specifically, but they are unclean by reason of a dead body. And they come forth with a complaint. Their complaint is not, oh, this Passover is tedious. Their complaint is not, oh, we have to eat unleavened bread for a week. Their complaint is not, oh, we have to kill this animal and take all of this, to take our stock out of our own herds and so on. Instead, they say, we are unclean by reason of a dead body and we cannot partake. What shall we do? I think this question, if I might read into it a little bit, presents to them a great love, or presents to us a great love for God's ordinances. The Passover was something that was obviously special to these men. They wanted to partake, but could not. Well, there's all kinds of implications there, right? There are. And I'm sure that many of you are making those in your mind already. There are many times we come to the Lord's ordinances and our hearts are not there. We're not in love with those ordinances. We haven't considered them to be the great blessing and benefit that they are, a way of drawing near to God. These men were protesting, complaining. They were affected, ill affected, because they could not draw near to God in His ordinances. They were defiled. That's a great example for us, I believe. A convicting example, and yet an example nonetheless. And so they come to Moses and they say, what shall we do? And Moses says, another great example, I don't know. This hasn't happened yet. This is our first Passover. This is our 1 year anniversary with God after coming forth out of Egypt. I don't know. I've never heard of this condition before. Let me go ask the Lord. What a great example. Moses doesn't make something up. Moses petitions the Lord for clarification, and the Lord, in His kindness and condescension, not only responds to Moses and the question, but has an extremely kind and merciful addition to what is acceptable. And so the Lord says they will partake 1 month later exactly. Because they are unclean today, they will be unclean for a week. We will postpone it 1 month for them and them alone. And when they come near in their month, they will come near with everything that we did before, the month prior. They cannot change the ceremony. They cannot augment it. They cannot do something else instead. They will come near with every particular in place. The only thing different will be 1 month later when they are clean. And then the Lord adds a warning to them. This is not, the Lord says, and I know I'm drawing out implications here. This is not a provision for sloth. As a matter of fact, if you are capable of partaking of the Passover in its appointed season, and you do not, you will be cut off from your people. But if you are hindered some way providentially, the care of a dead body, if you're on a journey, an unavoidable journey, and you're away at the time, there will be a provision for you to come and to draw near. So, the implications of this, like we said a moment ago, are far-reaching. As we understand our own duty toward the Lord, this is one thing that we have a hard time communicating to this generation, don't we? That there is a day that belongs to the Lord, and that there are services on that day that we owe to Him. And so this is why we tell you that if you're on vacation, if you are away from CCRPC on the Lord's Day, if you're on a journey, whether that's a work journey or a vacation kind of journey, that when the Lord's Day comes round, it's still the Lord's Day. God is still God. And the services that we owe unto Him, we still owe Him on the Lord's Day. And so while you may not be able to worship here on the Lord's Day, you will worship because God has commanded you to do so. And notice what it says here, that the man who is able to partake of the Passover and refuses to shall be cut off from his people. The Lord takes attendance upon His worship very, very seriously. And we ought to take it seriously as well, that we should not let the lightest and slightest things take us off from attending to Him and the duties that we owe unto Him. And I don't mind saying that. I don't mind saying that we owe things unto the Lord. We owe Him our very selves. The Lord has granted to us an incredible amount of freedom for not being our own, hasn't He? We have it very, very well. Our Lord is a kind Master. But on the Lord's Day, He commands that we come forth from our homes and we gather together in holy convocation. And we serve Him. And He has commanded that. And so we don't have an option to say that we don't have to. And so it's very clear then from this passage that the Lord condescended and provided for the weaknesses of His people. Yes, death is a weakness, isn't it? It's part of our sin. The Lord simply could have said, you know what? Your sin is your own fault. And the death that comes from it, that's a part of the fault of your own race. If you miss, you miss. But He didn't. He condescended and said, you may come and draw near to Me in the Passover 1 month later. I think that's great kindness on the part of the Lord. The second section then of the chapter, which begins in verse 15, it's very, very clear. And Moses wanted us to make sure we understood every particular detail in great clarity as to how it was in that wilderness wandering of the Old Testament that the Lord led His people. And so there's a lot of repetition, not tedious for Moses and safe for us, as to how when the cloud abode on the tabernacle, that they stayed. And when the cloud rose up, that they went. And we'll find elsewhere in the Pentateuch that when the Lord rose up off of the tabernacle, Moses often stood and said what? Rise up, O Lord, and let Thine enemies be scattered before Thee. Right? Remember that? And the children of Israel followed Him along as He went and led them from place to place. But since this is the inception of that leading and the children of Israel following at the end of that 1 year where they dwelt around Mount Sinai, Moses wants to make sure we understand very, very carefully how it was that the next 40 years, although we're not yet to the train wreck that takes place just a couple of chapters hence when the children of Israel indeed deny the Lord and will not follow Him into the land of promise, that one day where they said, no, we won't follow You, then the Lord led them about throughout those 40 years. And when He went up, they went up. And when He stayed, they stayed. And they kept the charge of the Lord. That is, they kept the responsibilities that they had before the Lord. They arrayed themselves properly around the tabernacle. They set up their tents according to that that order that God had put before them. They had the Levites in their midst. They approached the Lord by means of those priests and all of those things. That's what it means when it says they kept the charge of the Lord. And when the Lord rose up and led them, they packed up their tents and went with him. And then when he sat back down, they sat back down and they waited upon him. Well, there's a great metaphor there pertaining to the leading of the Lord. Now, let's not go off into mysticism here, but let's remember that the Lord does indeed command his people to follow him. We follow him then, like we heard earlier from Philippians chapter 3. We follow him when we follow the commands and counsels and example of our Lord Jesus Christ and those others, those inspired apostles and others like them in the first century, as they said, follow me as I follow Christ. And we follow the Lord today as we hear from him in his word. Thus ends the reading then of Numbers chapter 9. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.